4341 790 266 IVOB. Dennis, is this man for real? I think that marijuana should remain an illegal drug. Pertaining to alcohol, he must be high. Just don't understand why he didn't challenge him on it. Challenge him on what, alcohol? Don't understand that question, but okay. Listening to the advertisement a short while ago about solar heaters, I got a message here that said, under phase two of the return to work, list companies to start, the solar water heater industry is not included. I spoke to the GIS on the 30th of April and the 6th of May and was told we could only operate the manufacturing side, no office installation or service staff allowed to work. The GIS said to direct our concern to the Attorney General, which I emailed on Monday the 5th, no written reply yet. Yesterday I got his cell number, sent him communication, and his reply said, construction projects are permitted to recommence in all allied businesses that provide short or inputs into the construction sector, including hardware, building supplies, between 8 to 4. I understand this to mean delivering our systems to construction sites and not to home. So again, the question of what the directive said and what the GIS advice says seems not to be operating on the same page. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
Greetings and salutations to your good self.
Mm-hmm.
It was only after I hung up the phone last week, mm-hmm, I realized that it was you that I was in conversation with.
That happens from time to time.
Your voice sounds so different. However, let me first admit that I am a fool to legal matters. But it is believed, if not accepted, that the philosopher became a philosopher because then he did not know he asked. Therefore, I hereby ask a question from a man's perspective. Why is it that some lawyers who were practicing law before some of their colleagues had entered a learning institution to study law are not QCs, but their juniors have become QCs? Take for an example, sir. I do not believe that some high court judges are QCs, which include the Honorable Chief Justice, and senior lawyers like a former Deputy Speaker of the House of Assembly and the top of the line constitutional lawyer, Mr. Ezra Allen, Mr. Bobby Clark, and Mr. Dayton Rollins are not QCs. However, during the Owen Arthur's administration, a master of the court had been appointed. I think attorney at law, Mr. Roberts, was the first to hold that office so as to expedite the backlog of cases. It would be interesting to learn from the person or persons to whom it may concern. Tell us how helpful the master of the Supreme Court is to the dispensation of justice. And since the point of appointment of more high court judges, both permanent and acting, what progress has been made? And if there is an improvement in the professional prosecuting work so that the judges will be able to function with precision. You see, sir, I think that when the DLP took office in 2008, there was a severe findings in 2020 when they had a victimization study where 73% of individuals did not believe that police treat people equally, which brings me to the point that here in Barbados, it appears to me personally, and the recent legislation presented to the House of Assembly, Provision Bill 2020,
Don't go there. 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 So when you start referring to specific cases that are still before the court, when you've called specific names, when you've made certain allegations, sir, you cannot go there. You say you don't know the law. I don't know it either, but I know enough to guide you on that one. All right? Don't go there, sir. Have a good day. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Good morning to you, Mr. Johnson.
Morning, ma'am.
Some people are not taking this virus seriously, so I felt compelled to come on air and say something about it, especially young people. And unless we take it seriously and do what we can to contain it or control it, it will certainly spread in this small island. I noticed that from, I was in a line on Monday with about 10 people waiting in line to get in an establishment that was allowed to open on the same Monday. Now, the people were staying about 5 feet apart in line. A lady came with a mask under her chin, and she dropped onto me about a foot behind. I gave her a little time to settle herself, and then I told her kindly, step back. She muttered something under her breath. I indicated that she was not moving from where she was, so I stepped to the right, some distance from her. Now, when it was nearly time for me to my turn to enter, I observed that the employee who was at the door sprained her hand. She had her mask under her chin as well, and she there talking away to someone. When it had me so angry that when I stepped in, I say, you know you should be wearing your mask. And I stepped into the store. Now, she was very annoyed, and she turned and said, what got to do with you? What got to do with you? I tell her, look, it is people like you that will cause this establishment to close again. Okay? I mean to say, she is a young person that was supposed to be educated in Barbados. And we scarcely have any illiterate people. Where's the common sense? Where is the common sense?
Ma'am, the use of masks and the language being used and the various seemingly contradictory statements being made about masks in the international forum, one of the reasons why people are not taking it seriously. When you have messages that say, don't wear masks because you're breathing back in carbon dioxide, depending on the kind of mask, you could be choking yourself, you could knock yourself out while you're driving, and you have people saying, well, you wear the mask so that if you sneeze, you don't sneeze on other people, so only wear the mask if you're sick, and other people saying wear it to protect. You get so much conflicting information that some people don't know what to pay attention to. Then there are those who don't care to pay attention to anything.
But yeah, those are people that kind of reasoning.
I know.
But I mean, we were told that...
To wear it, yeah.
We were told that you can contract the virus by the droplet through your eyes, your nostrils, or your mouth. So I feel that when you have on this mask, it controls what you'll be giving out to others, and it protects you as a person. So I feel that the right thing to do right now, because we don't know what is what, is to wear that mask. But I am seeing also the ZR vans, they were told 60% passengers, 60% you can take. And yet they're packed to capacity. Some of the people who step in, they have no mask. Oh, where are we going? In 2 or 3 weeks, then we'll be back to square one. So we will never get rid of the virus. Everybody has to try what the government say. You do that. If they come with something else, you do it until we eliminate it completely. That is what I feel. But, you know, sorry to say, but Barbados is full of a lot of indifferent people. They're indifferent. they have no right, no cars, no, because the traffic is limited in the road for speeding. Yet sometimes you see them tearing up the road, going where and to do what. We have too many different people, and it is showing now that we have the COVID. It is showing. So I just wanted to say that these establishments that now open, they should stick to the protocol and do what the government said, or what is, and use their common sense to take them forward. That's what I feel.
Okay,
thank
sir.
You very much.
Ma'am. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello.
Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. My question is regarding laptops and tablets coming into Barbados. And my question is, would there be taxes or duties added since they're educational items and they're coming?
As far as I know, computers have been, ma'am, as far as I know, computers have been exempt from VAT for the longest while.
Regardless screens, of who they're going to, let's say they're going to,
ma'am, if they're going to courts or wherever they're going, as far as I know, there has been no VAT on computer items in Barbados, including screens, etc., for the longest while. Unless they've been put on in recent times, no, that I know of.
So to be sure, my question is, if I pay to have stuff sent to Barbados, when they get to Barbados, there's no taxes or anything. They just...
I can't say taxes or anything. I said VAT. I was very careful. I said value-added tax, VAT. I don't know about the others.
Okay, well, hopefully someone will come on and talk about taxes, if they're taxes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, man. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Pleasant day to you.
To you, too.
Blessed position. Mr. Johnson, over the years, I personally believe from the inception of the calling programs, I've always found it possible to call the programs to talk of issues that are kind of searching. And I've met some moderators, including yourself, who pays close attention or who have paid close attention, and I've gotten some results. Now, this morning, I want to refer to yesterday's paper, under the headline, Calls to Assist Stranded Immigrants, and there's a picture of a doctor with a mask on. The body line of the article should be read. And today's paper front page, a different approach. There's a photograph of some Trinidadians who are saying, thank you, Barbados. Now, the reason I'm asking this question is that it seemed to me that one set has been visitors, and based on yesterday's story, the 228 people seem to be people who are likely to be prisoners. I haven't read the story. My reason for calling on this is that we need a clear picture. I know that the borders are closed, but within the region, some of the areas are opened. Based on this article, this doctor is calling for assistance based on the conditions facing these 228 people who have been held in this country for several reasons, whether it be trafficking or whether it be overstay. Then the fact of the matter, they come from several areas of the Caribbean. I would like to know from the Minister responsible Home Affairs what has been done, or what will be done, to make this situation more comfortable in thinking since this COVID-19. I say that to say this, Mr. Johnson, that these 258 people, from what I've seen, are responsible for themselves, debt-wise, food-wise, clothing-wise, everything, while the other people, they paid their way, they were capable of paying their way, and they did it well. So I think this case that I've read yesterday, and I hope you will get some chance to read it.
About what?
You have read it?
The case about what?
The case of the doctor asking for assistance to stranded immigrants.
So what does a stranded immigrant mean? I tried to figure out these terms that I keep hearing people throwing about, because I saw a newspaper in Trinidad saying that there were people stranded in Barbados. Now, there were 33 people from Trinidad who came off a cruise ship, were at a hotel in Barbados. They were paying their way. They wanted to get back home. They're stranded on an extended vacation. I don't know. So when you say the person's stranded, I wonder what they mean. There's a guy in Guyana, a Bajan guy in Guyana, who said he went there and he's stranded and he want to come home. And why they're allowing people to come in to count the votes and he's stranded. So I'm trying to figure out what's a stranded person.
In my simple interpretation,
mm-hmm.
Looking at the 33 people from Trinidad,
right,
who have said to have covered the end respectively in expenses,
mm-hmm.
stranded would mean that these persons are in no position
to pay.
To pay.
Okay, right. Which is what I wanted you to explain. And you have. Good, sir. I know what you mean by a stranded person.
Right. So yes, I am asking that we get a clear picture mm-hmm. from the minister responsible
mm-hmm.
if anything has been done in relation to assisting these stranded immigrants. And there are a lot, 200 and something. That is one. The other point I want to raise with you, Mr. Johnson, and I know that this is a matter of concern, I want to ask if... We still have to wait, Barbados still have to wait for every Tuesday for the mortician to come out of Trinidad and to perform the
autopsy.
So if that is the case, that we don't have one of our own here.
He might be stranded in Trinidad.
why are you like that?
So because Trinidad got along. So you see how many people they got to deal with? Besides COVID-19, they got shootings, stabbings, decomposed bodies found in the forest. Man got plenty of work to do.
Only a couple days ago.
I shouldn't laugh. It is. So it's of serious concern. It is a concern.
Only a couple days ago, I was talking with one of your presenters, moderators, mm-hmm. Mr. Ellis. We saw eye to eye. There are several bodies that are months now, weeks now, that are waiting for the autopsy to be done. And there's several, now with this situation of COVID-19, I'm wondering why have we not found it fit after all of these years, couple of years, well, to have appointed a mortician instead of having to wait on the arrival of the one from Trinidad to perform the autopsies. This would mean that we would be accumulating bodies within the morgue. There'd be a slow process of burials in terms of bodies being turned over to the various funeral homes. So I think at this time, we got COVID, but I think there's certain things we cannot fall to sleep on. And if we fall to sleep on one, then we can't get up, then we're in serious trouble. So my question is that when will we find it fit to appoint our own mortician?
But suppose nobody wants to accept it because of the pay or other things. You know, let's go back to the Trinidad situation, right? Trinidad had more than one person performing autopsies at one point, and then they went down to one. Then he said he was being overwhelmed by the work that he had to do. Then sometimes they had to have, people wanted separate autopsies done because they had certain questions raised. There are certain jobs that, depending on the pay level, people will not want to do it. And you then have to import somebody to do it. Now, I don't know what's the case of that particular position in Barbados, why it has not been filled. And the question of why it has not been filled is a good one. I'll throw a maybe into the mix. If they believe it's easier to fly somebody up from Trinidad to do it because they have so few and then fly them back down rather than paying somebody full time, maybe that's an option they took. I don't know. But it's a good question.
But there's a lag. I remember the last doctor we had doing that was an Indian doctor.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm.
Who was sent sparse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, In relation to families who are waiting the turn of bodies, who cannot do anything until the bodies have been presented back to the hospital. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it's a forensic pathologist that somebody has just informed me that does the autopsies. And thanks for the correct terminology, my friend.
I will now put that where it should be. Forensic pathologist. Yeah. Now, I'm serious now. These are questions that, even though we're going through the situation of COVID-19, mm-hmm. that I believe we can get answers for. And the reason why I'm speaking about the deceased is that there's several families who cannot say when and how the members of the family will be buried, because they're waiting on the forensic pathologist to provide the autopsy. And having questioned why, I was told that this is a person who comes from Trinidad every Tuesday. So we should get the answer for that.
We could try to get an answer.
We should try to get the answer for it. Because, as I said, it might be opening preamble, that I've always found that when I call the calling program, not only me, but the calling programs always find the answers for those things of which people are concerned about.
But let me say this to you too. Sometimes, depending on the nature of the case, in other words, if somebody died from a gunshot wound and the police need forensic evidence, there is a period of time where they may want that information given to them. If you have a pandemic like we have at the moment, where people have to do that as well as other regular ones they have to do, you may have a juggling of what is done, how often it's done. And as you say, there may be a backlog. There may be other reasons why the persons can't have their loved ones to be buried. And then you have the constraints on how many people could be at the funeral too anyhow. So there are multiple things that are coming to the fore during the course of the treatment of this pandemic that hopefully we'll get answers to and put some minds to rest, as opposed to the bodies we want to lay to rest too.
I appreciate that.
No problem.
Finally, if I have another 2 minutes or a minute, I'm there.
Mm-hmm. You are still with me.
My position, and I've excelled on this, that the position that I think we have found the answer for the burial of people, whether from COVID or whether normal, that there can be a gravesite funeral, which takes less time and takes less money, and give the right for more people to attend and have what we call social distancing.
I'll tell you why I chuckled. I think the number has been increased from 10 to 20. It hasn't gone to 25 like the person was asking. I think it's gone to 20. I think that's the last thing I saw on it. And here again, there was recently a picture in the newspaper. Poor Sergeant Johnson got wrapped in his knuckles and, you know, for saying that he was complaining about people hugging up, and he wasn't. He was talking about people standing close together on the cliff. The way we in the Caribbean treat death and consoling the bereaved is to hug them up and fire a drink. We go to the rum shops and we fire a drink for the dear departed, and if he was a member of the team who used to come and buy a rum for the fellas, we have another rum for him. The reason why the constraints were put in place was to restrict the congregating of people. I would find it extremely difficult if a close friend of mine, like in a family, you know, we have these extended families. So let's say an old lady who took care of me, but is not my blood relative, were to pass. And I go to the funeral and I see her children. There are only 10 of us there or 20 of us there. And I see her children crying. And I crying. It can be real hard for me to stand under a tree half a mile away and watch them, you know. It can be real hard. I'm gonna touch somebody because I'm a touchy-feely kind of person. So I'm going to put my arm around somebody and I'm going to hug them up. And, you know, so it was trying to keep people from not congregating that said, let's cut the numbers down to manageable numbers. And I think even 10 would be difficult to control, 22. But I take your point. The cost may be constrained if you have a graveside funeral, but you see, stopping people from hugging one another when you got grief, very, very, very difficult to do in the Caribbean, sir. We just hug up a lot. We just hug up people we don't know. But it will pass, we hope. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, and you?
I'm watching the stacks here, and I don't know, you know, I've watched, I see 263,000 people dead overall, but that says nothing to how many people have died from hunger in that same time. I've worked out that 1.65 million people have died over that time from starvation worldwide. So this to me is more of a distraction. Now, I don't know if everybody knows this, but all these viruses, the flu, the SARS, and all those things. Let's get rid of some of these old people who pay not too much pensions, to put it bluntly. And prevention is better than cure. We've been shut up for weeks. I'm hearing that the virus can live on certain surfaces for a period of time, and that the household cleaners and the sprays and things kills the virus. Well, I ain't seen a fogging machine coming around, even if it just makes the household cleaners and spray all around, clean up town while the shutdown was on. Nothing so. He's shut down for a couple of weeks. He opened back up. You know, and so far I haven't seen the cases gone up, but then it's only a couple of days. But good news. Prevention is better than cure.
It always is, sir.
And we got the prevention. The simple things that we cook with. That's the only good thing about the shutdown, because people are not buying a lot of the fast food. They're cooking with their custom cooking. Be your Korean, your turmeric, your garlic, and all these things. You could check them out for yourself and see the medicinal properties of these things. Help build the immune system. You don't fight something by running inside and shutting up. You defend yourself. If you find them beat you up, you know you can't fight really. You put a helmet on your head or something that can take the blows.
Look, you know, sir, the truth is,
but sir, you know,
let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
There are some people who can't cook. There are some people who find it cheaper to buy food rather than to cook. But I take your point. What I would like to see is a diversification of the offerings of the various outlets. And one of the good things I think about this thrust for entrepreneurship is a lot of people who could cook, especially those who perhaps are no longer in the hotel industry because the hotels are shut, could use their culinary skills to change the taste habits of Barbadians.
Yeah.
So if they could...
We got the old traditional taste habits.
Of course, but the thing is, we got plenty of people in Barbados, sir, who could really make ordinary things taste well good. But the thing is, we just give it to our visitors. we don't give it home. So if you have cooks who know how to prepare cassava hacks, who could do a nice salad and make it really appetizing, because people say, "Man, I don't eat green grass," but they can make it appetizing and get people to actually enjoy it. They could get a good sideline business going, home delivery, you know, and get some money, and change the taste buds that people believe. I got to tell you, I don't like chips from fast food restaurants. The few I ate taste like oily box. They don't have any taste. They don't taste like potato, right? And sometimes you get, an offering. It looked like a sacramental offering of a chicken that burnt to a crisp. So a burnt offering. You get a burnt offering that's supposed to be chicken. So there are people in Barbados who could cook. So I'll say, if the hotel is closed and they have, you know, they're a little short of cash, they could start preparing some nice appetizing little meals for $25 and, you know, help out a brother who wants some yam and fish. You know, I agree with you. It's gonna make some of us healthy. The Christians who've gone through 40 days of Lent would have fasted, and then the Muslims who are going through the month of Ramadan would also be fasting. So, you know, we will lose some weight, and you know, we could become healthy because of a pandemic. Point taken. Point taken.
Speaking of Mother of the Caribbean, any person had a recovery rate over 50%.
We could. Person tell me they send me a coffee and a sandwich and they can keep the beer. Oh, okay, cool.
We're hearing about the amount of cases, the amount of deaths.
Yeah.
But we hardly hearing anything about the recovery rate.
Right. Well, that too, sir, is a factor that has to be... And also, if there are any persons being reinfected, because that would also tell us how to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
Those are statistics that perhaps will come out in the long run. But yeah, it's one of those you don't see regularly.
I'm seeing it right now.
Okay. All right, sir. Good hearing from you. Good way to put it. Somebody say they want their meals cooked at them, not that anybody else. It's difficult for some people to do it. For example, Kashi working early this morning would have to have left home at 3 o'clock in the morning. If he had to stay to work through brass tacks, he'd be here to 2. So it'd be difficult for him to fix lunch unless he packed it from last night or from 3 o'clock this morning. There are challenges for some people, shift workers and various other people on the front line who want to just, you know, go home and have a meal there. And if they're by themselves, it's going to be difficult. We got to think of other people sometimes. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Brother Nasser, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I've been holding no matter me, though. I've been holding now for about 3/4 of an hour. I hope that I don't just get cut off now in the next minute. I'm off. I got cut off. I came back. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing all right, sir. I'm doing all right.
That's all you have. 5 children?
I only have 3, sir. Okay. I only have 3.
Anyway, I want to talk to you about the Attorney General and some comments I hear him making this morning in connection with the bad report about money laundering that they give to Barbados. Mm-hmm. You heard it this morning?
So I read that story last night and I heard the AG this morning, yeah.
Right. Now I really want to talk about what he's been saying. But before I do that, I want to make 2 simpler things. One, don't you think, Mr. Johnson, that parents should get up on mornings, the children are not going to school now, but are doing schoolwork on the computer or whatever the case may be, and really let the children put on the uniforms and make them understand that they really are not in a building, but they are at school? What do you think about that?
Sir, people will tell you they're quite happy that the children are at school. They don't have to wash the uniform. They don't have to press it. They're quite happy to take that expense off and let the children sit in their nightgowns. And let them sit in the nightgown and the pyjamas and do their schoolwork. They're working from home.
And
remember that they may be on camera, so at least decently dressed.
Right, so they put on you. They all look nice, you know?
Yeah.
And the mental thinking might be, I'm not saying children don't do well, but everybody will come on, know that I'm not going to the school building. I put on my uniform and look like a school child. I listen and being taught. I would feel very comfortable. And I feel that I'm at school.
And sir, that's why I made the comment, right? That
yeah.
I can't remember my mother having to tell me to do my homework. I take off my school uniform when I get home, but I know I got to do homework because I want to get outside and play afterwards. So get homework off the table first. So when she come home, I play and she say, you do your homework? I could say yes. So it's about discipline and time management, something we gotta learn in this environment. But that's it. You were correct. Your minutes were almost bang on time.